The following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and today on Crane's Daily Gist, Boeing has pulled the chairman title from its CEO, increasing the pressure to resolve the ongoing 737 MAX crisis. We'll talk all about that, but first, Crane's political columnist Greg Hines writes that Mayor Lightfoot is about to enter the toughest 2 weeks of her career. Earlier today, I spoke with him for insight. Here's our conversation.
Chicago, when it voted for Lori Lightfoot, it certainly saw some things that it liked, at least compared to the other candidates. But there was a lot of things we didn't know. Was this really the right person with the financial background and the political abilities to lead the city at a very difficult time? And it's all coming to a point right now. We're about to find out.
Indeed. And so what is your kind of read on her? It seems, you know, she's been talking a lot about trying to resolve and avoid a strike. She perhaps hasn't said as much. I mean, you're closer to it than anyone, but she doesn't seem to be saying too much about, you know, the budget. And she's got some big issues to overcome. What is your read on her right now?
Well, let's start with the situation at the schools where the teachers union, together with workers at the Park District, represented by a different union, have all pledged to go out on strike on Thursday if they don't get what they want in a new contract. This one really isn't about money, although money is certainly involved. It's more about who's going to control and who's going to set the priorities over at the Board of Education. The teachers union wants to put things in the contract that would give them leverage in future contracts that were taken out under a 1995 state law. They certainly want to bulk up on their influence in Springfield, where they hope to elect members of the Board of Education, which would put them in a position to get some friends on there so that they're kind of controlling both sides of the bargaining table, and you know, a variety of other things, so that I'd look at this as kind of part and parcel with what's going on in the Democratic Party this year nationally with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, the sense that, you know, we progressives have had enough, we're going to take control and put our priorities at the front. On the other hand, you got a Board of Education that's just barely gotten itself out of financial hot water, and Lightfoot has got to be most mindful that if you put the system back into effective bankruptcy, that probably doesn't do the city any good either. So the question is, how can they work this out? Who's going to make their point, and who's going to have to give? Because somebody's going to have to give here in the end. This is, you know, only one party is really going to be the winner here, I think. So that's the situation with the Board of Education. Over at the city, next week, the mayor is supposed to unveil her budget, and she's got an $838 million hole. That is a big number, and it's just as big as it sounds. And we really don't know yet how she's going to do it. And the fear out there is that a good chunk of it is going to come in the form of property taxes, which the mayor says doesn't want to do, but she might not be able to avoid. That's going to be really painful. Whatever she proposes, she's going to have to twist a lot of arms in the city council and get some help. And whether she can do so and walk the right line is going to be a tough test for her.
And as you note in the piece that you wrote for Crane's Chicago Business, there's kind of two options here of how to read her around the budget. And that's either she's really good at playing her cards very close and she's just really good at keeping secrets, or perhaps she is in over her head and isn't sure yet what to do. What's your read there?
My read is, I honestly can't tell you. Her team has been very quiet for the most part about what they're going to do on the fiscal side. I mean, we know there's going to be some few things. If you take an Uber downtown from Lincoln Park, you're going to have to pay more because there's going to be a new tax. If you sell a house for $1 million, you're going to have to pay more of a tax on that. They're going to declare a big TIF surplus, I suspect. But that is relatively only nickels and dimes. It gets you part of the way. I think there's going to be some spending cuts, but there's still, as best I can tell, a really big hole in her budget. And like I said, maybe she's come up with a good way to do it, and she hasn't told us, but I haven't seen it yet. And normally in these kinds of things, when you get within a week of the budget coming out, people start to talk. I mean, leaks come out and people whisper. I mean, politics is a wonderful business and government. You know, I wouldn't have a job if people didn't talk. Well, right now, they're not talking, which makes you wonder, like I said, is she really good at keeping secrets or has she not figured it out yet?
Yeah, it remains to be seen. So what are the kind of tells that you will most be interested in watching for over the next 2 weeks?
Well, the school strike is up first, and since there are a lot of aldermen now, a number of them who were elected with the strong support of the Chicago Teachers Union, how that goes may well affect how they vote on her budget to come. So that's certainly one tell. Another one will be if they walk, is it just a short perfunctory walk, or are they out for a while? I mean, kind of the worst scenario for the mayor would be a week from now or next week when she announces her budget. If the teachers are still out at the same time she's asking for a big property tax increase to pay for the city's budget. Like I said, this is a lot of big balls in the air at the same time she's got to juggle, and we're going to find out just how good of a mayor this one is.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I appreciate you talking about it with us today. There's a lot ahead for us in the next couple of weeks, and we'll keep looking to you for the latest.
Thank you.
Coming up, WeWork, the once high-flying startup and one of the largest users of Chicago office space, considers a bailout that would hand control to its backers. More on that and other stories right after this word from our sponsor. Wintrust Commercial Banking offers a full suite of financial resources designed to meet the needs of middle market businesses and larger companies. With comprehensive and personalized financial solutions, coupled with bankers who get to know your industry's demands, Wintrust Commercial Banking is committed to providing the tools to help your business reach its strategic growth initiatives. You've got a vision for your business, and Wintrust Commercial Banking is here to help you see it through. Find out more at wintrust.com. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Boeing has stripped CEO Dennis Muilenburg of his role as chairman, leaving him little margin for error in his final push to resolve the crisis around the company's 737 MAX. Boeing said in a statement Friday that separating the CEO and chairman roles will let him focus on getting the grounded jet back in the air. And while the board expressed its continued support for Muilenburg, it pledged active oversight of his performance, which is a sign of the pressure he's under around regulatory hurdles and the safety concerns of customers, pilots, and passengers as the global flying ban on the MAX nears the 7-month mark, with little clarity on when Boeing's best-selling jet will return to service. Lead director David Calhoun, a senior executive at Blackstone Group and a former boss of General Electric's aviation division, will take over as non-executive chairman. The Boeing board's decision to strip Muilenburg of his chairman title is the highest profile action of this sort at a Chicago company since United Airlines CEO Oscar Munoz was deprived of his opportunity to become chairman of the Chicago-based carrier after the 2017 PR debacle that followed the forcible removal of a passenger from a United flight at O'Hare. Growing pressure to bring down healthcare costs has not pinched pay at all for top brass at the nation's sixth largest health insurer. 8 of the 10 highest paid executives, including former leaders at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois parent company Healthcare Service Corp, got raises in 2018. So did 7 of the company's 9 returning outside directors. The pay hikes came in a banner year for Chicago-based HCSC, which owns Blue Cross plans in 5 states. Net income more than tripled, over $4 billion last year, mostly due to a tax refund, as revenue rose 10% to $36 billion. But at a time when healthcare spending and insurance premiums are rising, rich pay packages fuel a lot of controversy. Most striking is the pay of Milton Carroll, an energy industry executive who served as HCSC's board chairman since 2002. Carroll collected over $930,000 last year after pocketing nearly $5 million in each of the 2 previous years, according to company filings. That's far more than non-executive board chairman got at comparable publicly traded health insurers. Humana and Cigna, for example, paid their chairman just over $540,000 and $500,000, respectively. You can see data about the paychecks of many directors and executives at the company at chicagobusiness.com. It looked as though Illinois would sidestep bureaucratic snares and launch a recreational marijuana market faster by legalizing pot sales through legislation instead of a voter referendum, as other states have done. But citizens are having their say in front of city councils, village boards, and planning commissions from Mundelein to Murfreesboro. Democracy at the local level can be painfully slow, presenting potential problems for an aggressive timetable to launch recreational cannabis sales by January 1st. State law legalized recreational marijuana usage, but like many other states, Illinois left it up to cities and towns to decide whether to allow retail sales in their communities. Weed companies need local approval to set up shop, adding an element of uncertainty to one of the most significant public policy changes to Illinois in years. So far, a dozen towns have approved recreational sales, including Lombard and Joliet. A half dozen communities, including Wheaton and Lake Zurich, though, have voted to ban marijuana retailers, and votes are pending in at least two dozen more communities. Local officials who often were not involved in the lawmaking process in Springfield have found themselves at the center of an often contentious public debate that never really happened before the state law was passed at the end of May. In many communities, the debate has focused on economics. Municipalities can charge a sales tax of up to 3% on marijuana sales. Estimates have ranged from $300,000 to $500,000 in additional local tax revenue, depending on the size of the community. But the discussions also revolve around less tangible but emotionally powerful issues nonetheless, like morality and self-image. Lawmakers who pushed legalization through the legislature defend their approach while acknowledging that local officials are fielding public feedback that Springfield largely avoided. You can read more about this story, and of course many others, at chicagobusiness.com. WeWork, one of the largest users of office space in Chicago, is considering a bailout that'll hand control of the co-working giant to SoftBank. That is according to a person familiar with the matter. Japan-based SoftBank is convinced that it can turn around the company with the right financial controls in place. But WeWork's board and backers are also weighing another option. Bloomberg has reported that JPMorgan Chase is leading discussions about a $5 billion debt package. Either rescue package would ease a cash crunch that could leave the office sharing company short of funds as soon as next month. The startup had been headed toward one of the year's most hotly anticipated IPOs before prospective investors balked at certain financial metrics and flawed governance, turning the startup giant into a cautionary tale of private market exuberance and costing the company's top executive his job. But the fast-growing, money-losing startup had been counting on a stock listing and a $6 billion loan contingent on a successful IPO to meet its cash needs. So SoftBank is already WeWork's biggest shareholder, but the proposed deal with them would then shore up its control of the startup. And if the board opts for the SoftBank deal, the Japanese company will be taking on a troubled enterprise at a time it's struggling to convince the market about its long-term investment vision. For some context, SoftBank's CEO is going through kind of a rocky stretch after shifting his company from a telecommunications operator into an investment conglomerate with stakes in startups around the world. SoftBank's shares are down about 30% from their peak this year as investors, unnerved by both WeWork and Uber's disappointing debuts, have grown skittish about startup valuations overall. I'm Amy Guth, and until tomorrow, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thanks so much to producer Haima Black. Be sure to find breaking business news, data, analysis, and tons more at chicagobusiness.com. And find me on Twitter, and let's continue the conversation there about the business stories most on your mind. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll meet you right back here tomorrow.